Tying run at third, winning run at second, two outs, bottom of the ninth. The Estevez kicks the 0-1, swinging a ground ball towards first. Harper smothers it near the bag, picks it up, steps on first, and the game is over. Harper bangs that one around long enough to keep it in front, and he'll step on first, and that ends the ball game. Skidding across the chalk as Harper able to finally reel that one in. It had some weird spin on it, but the Phillies celebrate a come-from-behind 3-2 win tonight over the Braves.
Yeah, that felt good last night. Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. A lot to get to today here on the Midday Show. Another spot in the Fantasy League to give away. Our draft next Wednesday at Chickies at Peach. Jalen Hurts, what a camp it was as the Eagles finish off training camp yesterday. Hugh, good morning here. What's
up? Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, if you drink Civic coffee, you are a nasty individual.
What kind of coffee?
Civet. You never heard of it?
No. What is it?
Google it.
Civet?
C-I-V-E-T. Google it.
Okay, I'm Googling.
Yeah, Google it and see where it comes from. If you drink that kind of coffee, you're nasty. It's very, very expensive, and you're a nasty individual.
Have you had it?
No, but you know what's funny? I was I don't know how this popped up in my head, but I was Googling coffee because, you know, I'm trying to, you know, did the mushroom coffee. Didn't have a problem with that. But then Civet coffee came up, and I was like, it's very, very unique or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, but people drink it, and people love it.
That's really gross. Yeah,
yeah, you're a nasty person.
Listen,
what's happening right now, everybody's either at the light Googling Civet coffee or at their job right now Googling. When you do, give us a holler and let me know what you think.
So I was initially intrigued because I'm a big coffee guy.
Yeah. Are you intrigued enough to drink it?
Not that kind, no. I was just intrigued by, like, oh, I've never had this coffee. What is it? Let me look it up.
Very expensive. The process to make this coffee, very, very expensive.
Yeah, I'm not paying
Hey, listen, on the Thursday, I just want to blow your mind real quick. Just go ahead and Google it when you get a chance and just holler at me. Holler at me via the Twitter. Or on the, you know, call us.
Well, I think people's mind were blown last night. You know why, Hugh? The Phillies won a baseball game,
man.
And they did the little things right last night. Nice win down Atlanta.
Boy, they gave us heart palpitations, though.
Phillies win 3-2, and Hugh, a lot from the game last night. Look, Aaron Nola was not quite as good as I predicted yesterday. I said 6 innings, 2 runs. It was 5 1/3, 2 runs. He had traffic on the bases. He wasn't perfect, but he got them through. The bullpen was quite good last night, even though Estevez is going to give me a heart attack in the ninth inning when we get to October. They got through. They win. And you know what was fun about last night? Two things. One, they won with some small ball. You know, getting runners in on a ground ball out, getting runners in on sacrifice flies, couple pinch hitting moments there late in the game. I thought last night, Hugh, that was a character win. They needed that win. Their bullpen stepped up. And I also think after days and days, and really it's gone on in weeks and weeks here, and maybe even months, of everyone, and I've done it at times, I'm not going to exclude myself, beating up Rob Thomson, that was a Topper win yesterday. Topper was a big part of that win last night. Two pinch-hitting moments, sticking with Wet Weston Wilson late in the game, and the bullpen. Like, there's not much that Topper can affect every night, right? But the bullpen decisions and pinch-hitting decisions, that's his job. Like, that's every night he can affect that. And last night, Hugh, unlike some other games recently, every button he pushed last night seemed to work.
Yeah, and give a shout-out to the bottom of that order, man, because, you know, they've been taking a lot of heat, you know, even though the top of the order is the one that's supposed to make this thing go. They came through last night. My man, Johan Rojas, really kind of got the party started with the hit that he had. And it's one of those things, man, on any night, you know, you have to have guys contribute. And luckily for us last night, it was the bottom of that order.
Well, it was. You're right. Rojas, Weston Wilson. And I thought the pinch hitting moments there with Marsh and Stott were big things. I mean, look, that game started. They're facing a lefty. The righties are going to be in the lineup. But he brought those guys in at the exact right time. They helped win that baseball game. And I also think it's worth noting the Weston Wilson moment. And he talked about it after the game. Weston Wilson came up huge to help the Phillies score late in that game, get the lead. And I thought when you think about Weston Wilson and what he's done here, Topper has helped manage him along. He's really contributed. He's using him in different spots. And last night, he gave him a chance to hit against a righty. He did a good job. Let's hear Weston Wilson after the game on
Topper, almost
Topper on Weston Wilson after the game.
I'm thinking about starting him tomorrow. You know, the at-bats are so good that, you know, it's hard to deny.
Is that part of the reason why you let him hit against a righty to start the eighth?
Yeah. Yeah, I've just liked his at-bats. He looks balanced. He looks comfortable. He looks poised. he uses the field like he did in his last at bat. So.
I mean, I think there's very little chance, Hugh, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, he lets Weston Wilson hit there. I mean, he's earned his trust. And, you know, we point out a lot of things that Topper maybe doesn't do great. But this is the stuff you've talked about where he believes in his guys.
The intangibles.
Yeah, and his guys, I think they appreciate that he puts them in spots to succeed. And last night, he worked up the, I don't know, courage is the right word. He worked up the fortitude to say, you know what, Weston, a righty's in. I'm leaving you in the game. And Weston Wilson, they don't win that game without that double to start the
inning. Well, I'll tell you another thing that I think has happened. Like, because of the guys that you have put your trust in, they really haven't come up big for you yet, that you have to start looking for other guys to come up big and put you in a situation for you to be successful. And I think that probably has something to do with it as well. Still, last night, when you look at that game, like, there wasn't a whole lot of hitting going on in that game. And luckily, you hung in there. You got good enough pitching to be able to hang in there that you were able to, towards the waning minutes of the game, to actually win the game.
Yeah, and I want to point out, to go back to the eighth inning and the Weston Wilson thing. So, top of the eighth inning, right, he has Stott and he has Marsh on the bench. They're available to be used. And he's going to use those guys because a right-handed pitcher is in the game. He had two choices there. He could have waited, or he could have used Brandon Marsh to pinch hit for Weston Wilson and tried to start with Marsh and Stott and then let Rojas hit. Or he did it the way he did it. Let Weston Wilson hit and then go to Stott, then go to Marsh. And the order was, it worked out perfectly because Wilson got the double and then he had Marsh for the Rojas at bat and he had the sacrifice fly. I think we've gotten to the point, and I'm curious where you're at on this. 215-592-9494, where we are too hard on Rob Thompson. It's too much. Like, when things go bad, it always comes back to Topper. You know, there was a story that came out the other day. I believe it was Matt Gelb in The Athletic who wrote about how, Hugh, it's not just Topper all by himself deciding not to pinch hit a guy on Sunday.
Yeah.
The medical staff has a big say in all this because they have the thought process of, if you give a guy a full day off, he's more likely to stay healthy over the course of the season. And Monday, it was like open season on Topper, and I was part of it. But sometimes you got to zoom out, big picture, right? The big picture is the Phillies are 74-52. They're seven games up in the NL East. They have the second best record in baseball. Since he took over as the manager of this baseball team, he has a .574 winning percentage. And as much as we might not like it, and I don't like it sometimes, Hugh, their stars are all healthy, right? They don't seem to get driven into the ground. They're not, you know, banged up right now to where you were. Hopefully they get back for October. They've been a pretty healthy team. They've played well in October for 2 years in a row. And now they have a big cushion in the NL East. Like, if I had told you before the season, August 22nd, we come in here and the Phillies own a seven-game lead over the Braves, you would have said, Topper's manager of the year. But yet we talk about him all year and people want to beat him up.
Yeah, but part of the reason why is that we have PTSD from the things that we've seen in the past. I even throw the Flyers in there. The fact that the Flyers kind of fell apart towards the end of the year. The Eagles fell apart. And so as fans, most fans are 4-for-4 fans. When they see what's going on with the Phillies, they can't help but to think about those other teams. Like, a lot of people won't admit it, but I believe that's partly why it is the way it is right now for Topper.
Well, I think it's part of it. I also think the last 2 years, it's ended so heartbreaking, yeah, in heartbreaking fashion in October, and he takes the brunt of that. I still go back, and I don't have a negative emotion towards what happened in the World Series, but from his perspective, like, I know he took Wheeler out and Alvarado gave up the home run. They probably weren't winning that World Series anyway. The Astros were better. I don't blame Topper for the 2022 World Series at all. Last year, yeah, it frustrated me. You know, sticking with Rojas and the Kimbrel thing in Game 4, a lot of it did. But since this guy took over, he's been a good manager. The Phillies have been one of the best teams in baseball since Rob Thompson sat there as the manager of this baseball team. I think we're too hard on him sometimes. I think we overlook the players sometimes. We give them a pass. Kyle the other day brought up Dave Dombrowski and how sometimes we give him a pass. I think Rob Thompson gets too much blame when things go wrong around here. Too much. What's so funny?
What? I'm just laughing because I'm being a hypocrite today.
But I'm being a hypocrite?
I am.
Oh.
I'm talking about me.
Why? Go ahead.
Because, I mean, he's the manager. And I was just thinking about conversations that we've had in the past. And, you know, when we were talking about Nick Sirianni, and I was like, man, I feel sorry for nobody. Topper make a lot of money, too. But I feel in this situation that it's warranted that, you know, feel a little bad for him. because he takes a lot of punches.
He takes a lot of heat.
He takes a lot of punches, man. He's a good dude.
He's probably the in terms of just when things go wrong, who are people annoyed about? It's mostly him.
Yeah.
Very rarely does anyone...
And his managerial skills.
Yeah, very rarely does anyone say anything about Dave Dombrowski. And I get it. He's not in uniform every night. He's not in front of us on TV. So it's like out of sight, out of mind. It takes like people have to be, you know, we have to like take people and shake a criticism of Bryce Harper out of people sometimes because everyone loves Bryce Harper. It's like Trey Turner, you say he might not be that good and people jump down your throat. Like no one wants to criticize the players. Dombrowski gets a free pass a lot of times. It's always on Topper. And yet... I think he's a good manager. I'm not saying he's you know the best manager of all time, but I think Rob Thompson is a good manager. Kyle, are we too hard on Topper?
I just feel like managers in general in baseball take too many beatings on behalf of the players. The players are going to be what wins and loses you games. But we as fans love to play the blame game when things go wrong.
Yep.
Like when he leaves Alvarado in and he walks the entire ballpark. And, you know, that's an issue. Like, that can happen. And that should fall on Topper's shoulders. But what we seem to ignore is when Topper goes out and basically wins you a baseball game, like I think he did last night. Like, that was a Rob Thompson win. He pushed all the right buttons. The Weston Wilson thing. He managed the bullpen perfectly, even though Estevez walked the tightrope a little bit. But, like, just think back to last week when he
had a stress last
Yeah, oh, my dog. God. But when he benched Trey Turner, and Trey Turner came back and was on fire. I mean, that's a button that Rob Thompson pushed that worked out. So, like, I just want everyone to be brave and admit today that last night, in particular,
was a Topper win. That's an extra. He got like an asterisk next to his name. That's a Rob Thompson victory last night. And on top, you know, Kyle said something there was kind of got my brain going a little bit here. What always comes up when we talk about Topper is the bad moments in the playoffs the last couple of years, right? Where his decision, Hugh, may have either cost him the game or really put him in a bad spot.
Never talk about the good stuff.
Never. So, yes, last year, letting Rojas hit in Game 7, sending Kimbrel out there in Game 4, didn't work out. I mean, obviously not great decisions, not great outcomes for Rob Thompson. Game 6 of the World Series 2022, he takes Wheeler out, Alvarado comes in, boom. Alvarez goes deep to center field, and the game is basically over. Hugh, you know what no one brings up? We were there. Game 1 of the Braves series last year in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, that was bananas.
He took Ranger out pretty early, and he got 17 outs from his bullpen. Every button he pushed in that game worked. Every reliever he went to worked. And no one brings that up, right? It's always when the manager makes a mistake, he's a dummy. When the team does well, they're supposed to do well anyway. It's like you can't win sometimes if you're him.
No, you can't, but it's one of those things that when you're a manager or you're a coach or whatever it is, you know that. You know that going in. And you know that you're going to get a lot of arrows slung your way and you're never going to get the praise that you deserve when you do things, right? It's always those things that you do when you're doing wrong. That's the same thing when you talk about the Philly play. If Doug would have screwed that play up, Doug would have been an idiot.
Fourth down?
Yeah, Doug would have been an idiot. But when it works... You get a statue, and you're known as one of the best quarterbacks in franchise history.
You know what is really funny about that, Hugh? Earlier in that season, I think it was week 3 against the Giants. It was really a game the Eagles needed to win. Week 3 against the Giants, 2017, they were 1-1, right? So they can't, I mean, 1-2 would have been a tough start to the season. Doug Peterson, Kyle might remember this, week 3 of 2017, Doug Peterson went for 4th-and-8 around midfield pretty
against
early
the Giants,
in the game
right?
Against the Giants, the Jake Elliott field goal game. And they didn't get it. And that whole week afterwards, he was getting killed. Doug's too aggressive, goes for too many fourth downs. Doug's going to kill them. And then obviously, you know, 5 months later in the Super Bowl, he goes...
Greatest play ever.
Yeah, right. I mean, but like, that's it. So sometimes that's who you are. And you got to live and die with the aggressiveness. Topper's a good manager. I think we are too hard on Rob Thompson. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Let's go to the phone lines here. Doug is up on WIP. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Doug. What are you thinking?
I just got yelled at by your producer for 5 minutes, but I'll carry it over to you.
Kyle's an idiot.
We get yelled at every day. What you complaining for? You only got 5 minutes.
Now you're part of the show, Doug. Go ahead. Doug?
Rob Thompson does not... Can you please just stop for a second and just let me talk, or don't put me on?
You mad for real.
The Phillies have what? $300 million in payroll. You got teams like the Orioles, Kansas City, the Oakland A's, for God's sakes, have like their payroll's like $30 million, and they've been the best team since the All-Star game. And those are managers that deserve credit. Anybody can manage this team. Rob Thompson has – they have – the Phillies have two pinch-hit RBIs on the season now because they got one last night. The Red Sox have 30. That's a manager in Boston, okay? Let me – and I'll preface this by saying my wife's from Canada. A guy from Canada cannot manage a baseball team. My wife keeps the Liquid Dawn soap in the garage. Okay, these are not people
racist, huh?
That can manage baseball teams.
Well, Doug, hold on, time out.
What do you mean, you the people?
Let me discuss a couple things you mentioned here. First of all, the A's stink, so I don't know why you brought them up. Okay, and payroll.
They have the best record since the All Star break.
The Oakland A's this season.
In the AL.
Wonderful. They're 54-73. They stink. That's not a good example. Sometimes you get a team like the Rays often sometimes you get a team like the Rays, and that manager's very good, that overachieve and win a lot with a low payroll. Don't give me a team 19 games under 500. Like, nobody cares, okay? The second thing is Doug, hold on. The idea that anyone can manage this baseball team and win is faulty because we just watched a World Series winning manager in Joe Girardi bumble his way out of here. It was the same players, Doug. They had Zach Wheeler, they had Aaron Nola, they had Bryce Harper, they had Schwarber, they had Castellanos, and they were under 500. So the idea that anyone could do this, we just watched a guy come here with fanfare in Joe Girardi, and he stunk with the same players. So how could you say anybody could do it? He didn't do it.
Got you out of your skin a little bit.
They weren't the same players.
Hold on. How many players are different? Turner?
This is kind of the same group.
I don't have the. I'm driving my car. I don't have access.
Well, I do, Doug. I do. Turner's the major difference.
Okay.
We got computers.
It was Stott. It was Bohm. It was Schwarber. It was Harper. It was Real Muto. It's the same team. I mean, they've moved a couple players here and there. Same guys. And one guy got to the World Series.
Tell me what is so great. Tell me specifically, besides the Phillies' record, okay? What is so great about Rob Thompson?
Oh, I never said he's great, but he's a good manager. We treat him like he's a dummy, Doug. We treat him like he's a dummy when they lose a game.
What you got against Canadians, though?
The Canadian thing is bizarre.
This guy has been on the bench. He's 67 years old. He's getting ready to get put out the pasture.
His wife's Canadian, though.
Put him in there to be a puppet.
Oh, you guys wonder why I got upset with Doug.
His wife's Canadian, though, right?
I don't think he's 67. I think you're off on that, too. 61. I mean, Doug, you're all over the place.
Hey.
He's 61, Doug.
And his wife's Canadian, though?
All right. Doug.
If he's 61, he's smoking Camel No Filters.
I don't even think he looks that old.
What is your problem?
Yeah,
dude?
I mean, it feels like it's a little person. All right, Doug, get out of here.
I don't understand what you got against Canadians and your wife's Canadian, though. That blows my mind.
Well, I guess he doesn't think she can manage the Phillies either.
10 in the morning.
They won last night.
Topper's 80. No, he's not.
I know. I have his literal birthday in front of me, and I'm being told I'm wrong.
No, the best was when he said, the A's have the best record in baseball. Seriously? I guess it was valid, though, right?
Nobody cares. Here's the bottom line.
He's so mad about it.
They won last night. Am I wrong? Did they win?
No, Kyle made him mad.
Well, first of all,
Kyle, you're not Canadian.
I do get passionate back here. He came in hot talking about my nephew can manage it. Shut up, dude. Everything got that was a little bit personal with Topper.
No, that was really personal. I mean, it was. It's fine if you don't. First of all, I don't think he's a great manager. And he mentioned, he referenced Boston. I think Alex Cora is a great manager. Like, that's fine. You could think there are better managers than Rob Thompson. I mean, there's Bruce Bochy, there's Alex Cora. Maybe you think 3, 4, 5 others in baseball are better than him. That's fine.
When they were banging on the trash cans.
Alex Cora?
Yeah.
He was part of the staff, yeah. He is a great manager, though.
I'm just saying.
He was part of that.
He was banging on the trash.
I never said he was moral. I just said the guy knows what he's doing in the dugout.
I didn't do that to make him look. I'm doing it for my baseball IQ. Yeah. I'm trying to get better.
Just raising that up?
I'm trying to get better.
Well, I think Doug dollars down there. The Canadian thing was wild.
No, it was just wild. He came in with you people. That's the first time that's happened in a while.
So who are us people? Topper guys?
I guess the Canadians. I don't know. But, I guess the Canadians.
But none of us are. None of the three of us are not Canadian.
Not that I know of. I don't think I'm Canadian.
I don't think you're Canadian either. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right. Obviously, our first caller there thinks we're not hard enough on Topper. I think we're too hard on Rob Thompson. Phillies win last night. I thought it was a Topper win. Your take on Topper, just big picture, are we too hard on him? The Phillies were 7 games up in the NL East on August 22nd. If I had said that to you on April 1st, we all would have signed up for that. I think we're too hard on Topper. Where do you come down? Reactions to the win last night. Plus, we got to get into the nonsense last night. As that loser, Orlando Arcia, trying to give it back to Harper, and he just backfired.
They don't like each other.
They do. They do not. We'll hit that next. What happened down there in Atlanta last night? Plus, a spot in our midday show, Fantasy Football League, on the line. We'll tell you how you get in next, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
pitch. Swung on and hit high and deep to left field. Wilson is back at the track, at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He rounds first, waits for the ball to go over the wall, then clearly looks back at Harper, who's in on the infield grass. Looks at him again after passing second base. Looks at him again after crossing home plate.
Bryce Harper versus Orlando Arcia continues last night. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We'll tell you how we're giving away a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League coming up in a few minutes. We got a big Phillies win last night, 3-2. Got a little dicey late. Estevez is going to give me a heart attack come October. That guy is a roller coaster. But Topper pushed all the right buttons last night from the Marsh and stop pinch hit appearances, letting Weston Wilson hit in the eighth. The bullpen guys, including going to Kirkering for a second straight day. But Hugh, we had some drama there in the mid-innings when Arcia took Nola deep, and then he's rounding first base, and he stares down Bryce Harper. This guy is something else. I mean, remember, he's the attaboy Harper guy from last year. He started it all. I mean, is there a less self-aware major league player than Orlando Arcia? He's just a guy.
Yeah, he don't like Bryce. And I don't think Bryce likes him.
No, but you know what? Like, if he was on Bryce's level or close to it, I could almost get like a little bit of back and forth. He's just a guy.
Maybe he feels like he's on Bryce's level.
Well, my eyes tell me he's not for 8 years.
There's that.
Yeah.
But still, you have to like his bravado in the way that he did it.
No.
And the fact that it,
loser energy.
Wait, can I finish?
Go ahead.
This is pro-brave propaganda.
All right, let him finish. Then we'll yell at him.
Nobody's safe around these parts. But no, what I'm saying is this, because it added to the drama of the game. Because before that happened, it wasn't looking great for us. Let's be honest.
That's true.
It was not a whole lot going on, and we started trending to the side of here we go again. They're not going to win this game. And then we started thinking about some of the stuff that we were going to talk about for the show this morning, like in a negative way. Mm. So I think that kind of got the party started. It would have been nicer if it would have been Bryce that had actually got the party started, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I get it. And no, look, it did add to the drama of the game. It made it more interesting, and it's the back and forth and the two guys from last year. That's fine. It's just, like, if Austin Riley wants, and I know he's hurt right now, but if he wants to stare down Harper or
call, that's something different.
Yeah, Matt Olson, obviously Acuna, like, they're good players. Orlando Arcia has been in the big leagues for 9 years. He's a 240-something hitter with like 80 career home runs. I mean, there's 100 Orlando Arcias running around Major League Baseball. Like, shut up,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, but it just adds to the drama of these two teams, man. And that's what I got from it though, Joe. It's like, even though he is no doubt a lesser player than Bryce Harper, the fact that he did it added to the drama of that game last
night. Yeah, he's not quite a nobody as a player, but he's just one notch above a nobody. I mean, he's not a very good player. It's always funny to me when these kind of players like try to take on stars. Like, you stink, man. You're Orlando Arcia. Let's hear Topper after the game last night on the stare down between Arcia and Harper.
Looked like Arcia had stared at Bryce after he hit that home run running first base.
I heard about that. Yeah, that's gamesmanship. We won.
Yeah.
Top of a little zinger there. We won.
Yeah, but you know, now you got tonight. And then not even that. Look at, like, what was it, Ramon Laureano the other night when he had those great catches in the outfield?
Yep.
Like,
night,
dude, that's what this is about. A team, especially when you look at where the Braves are, they've had a lot of injuries over the last couple of months. They've been decimated. And the way that they're fighting, they're trying to stay alive. And they had those moments. That felt like a playoff game last night.
It did. Well, especially late. And I mean, for the Phillies, winning games down there in Atlanta is always challenging. It was challenging when they weren't as good as the Braves. Now that they're better than the Braves, it's still challenging. Yeah, look, and I think it did add to the fun of the game last night and the intrigue, but again, it kind of reminded me of the NBA a few years ago. It was Dylan Brooks trying to take on LeBron James. This happens in the NBA a lot. Like, nobodies will try to take on stars. You kind of laugh it off.
Yeah, you're trying to build a name for yourself.
Yeah. But
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, he's still a nobody. All right, Harper after the game last night, reacting and being asked about Arcia staring him down.
You see him staring him down?
Yeah. I couldn't finish.
Okay.
I already did it.
What's that?
I said I already did it.
I already did it. Yeah, the first one hits way more than the second one, especially in August, Kyle. Like, if it happened in a playoff game this year, okay, it's like, you know, you did it last year to us in the playoffs. I'm staring you back this time. It happened in an August game with the Braves down 6 in the division. Doesn't it?
Like, we can just call it for what it is. Orlando Arcia is a loser. And, I mean, what was he thinking?
Loser.
What was he thinking doing that? Like, first of all, nobody should have any respect for Orlando Arcia, what he did. I think he's hitting like 220 this year. He's not even in the same stratosphere as Bryce Harper.
I think
the guy,
Ruben pointed out the fact that he wasn't greater than the Broncos.
He stinks. This guy waited almost a full calendar year to get his quote-unquote revenge on Bryce Harper in a game that, by the way, they lost. The division lead was going to be 6 if they won. Would have been 5.
Doesn't have the greatest timing.
Yeah, but now it's at 7. I mean, it was terrible timing. Like, he's an idiot for that. What was he thinking? Well, and, like, I don't know if it motivated the team to go and win the game. Like, Bryce Harper didn't go off and have a great game after that. Mm. But, like, now it's just kind of a funny thing. Like, Orlando Arcia just comes off as a total idiot. Like, he embarrassed himself last night.
Well, you know what he comes off as? A fool. I mean, Orlando Arcia is a stone-cold fool. All right, it leads us to our midday show, Fantasy Football League. So here's how we're going to give away a spot today. Hugh, this should be fun. Every day we've done this, I'm really excited to hear what people say, because they're always making us laugh with these answers or making us think. Hugh, today we're looking for when and how you made yourself look like a fool. All right? So you got to be open today. You got to be willing to share the moment or how it happened at some point in life where you felt like a fool. You made a fool out of yourself. We're looking for the biggest fool out there. 215-592-9494. When you made yourself look like a fool for a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League. By the way, the draft, and we knew it was going to be next Wednesday. Now we have a lockdown time and place. Next Wednesday, 5 p.m., Chickies and Pete's in South Florida.
And we got our fantasy draft for the office, too.
We had our draft order this morning with the camera.
Yeah.
What pick do you guys have? You and Kyle?
Was it 9?
I think it's 9.
Yeah. I mean, you were there.
Yeah, I forgot.
Okay.
You know what it was? Because it was you can't even call that serpentine. That was like random as hell.
I don't
love
9.
Pick out of a hat. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like random ass randomness.
Well, 9's not a good pick.
We picked out.
No, I said that when I.
You did us dirty.
I didn't pick it. Mm. I didn't call the number. Somebody else called the number.
Well, Jody was picking out of a Tasty Cake donut bag.
Yeah, I didn't pick it. Because we didn't do it the way that normal people do it. We did it a different way.
Yeah, I think it fits. I mean, I think it fits us. It fits the whole operation.
I blame you.
I do too. Yeah, you.
It's not being nice. That didn't fit us.
215-592-94.
It was bad.
94. That's how you hop in. All right, we got a spot in the Midday Show. And it's like, are we too hard on Topper and a time you made a fool out of yourself? All right, I'll break the ice here. You want to know when I made a fool of myself, Hugh?
What you do?
Well, I mean, I do it. I think most of our listeners would say every day when we turn the mics on. But here's one moment I really did. So, I think I've told you this before. I'm really bad at remembering names. Like, when they're not in front of me on the screen here, it's really easy. But when I meet someone new and they tell me their name, like 5 seconds later, it just goes in one ear, out the other. I have no idea. So I was out somewhere not that long ago, and I met up with someone that I knew, right? Like, they had told me their name. In fact, I think I had spent time with this person like more than a second. Like, I should know who this person is. And I knew their face. I knew them. Hugh, I had no idea their name. And a lot of times when I don't know your name, you know what I'll do?
Just wait till you say it.
Well, I'll say, hey, man. Hey, buddy. What's up, pal? Like, I'll work my way around it so they don't know I don't know their name. But we were at a brewery, right? So I was having some beer, right? So I kind of worked up the courage to Hugh where I convinced myself, I know their name. And I said it.
And it was wrong.
It was not their name.
I mean, but that's not bad, Joe, because I do that every day. Like, I meet people.
But I had hung out with them for hours, then I called them the wrong name.
But see, I do that, and I'm going to say this right now, that I don't mean to do it on purpose. It's just that a lot of times, like yesterday, we were at the Eagles, like, we were at training camp. And I saw a couple guys that I knew from down at, I did a couple autograph signings down at the shore. And guys like, hey, Hugh, and I was like, oh, and I forgot his name. But, I mean, that's normal because I meet a lot of different people.
Right, but isn't it a little different? You admitted you forgot it or you knew. Then if you said, hey, Tim, and he's like, I'm Joe.
No, you were confident.
Yeah, I was confident. I convinced myself I knew the name and I was not even close.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty. But in your defense, you interact with a lot of people on a day-to-day basis. So I don't think anybody should hold that against you.
Yeah, I think he did. It was quite awkward.
His feelings were hurt?
I think so. And I felt like a fool.
Your feelings shouldn't be hurt. Because, like, even for me, I never assume that somebody knows who I am. I mean, because I think that's foolish. Because everybody doesn't watch football. Everybody doesn't know who I am. So when people say, I forgot your name, and I tell them immediately, like, hey, that's fine. I'm not offended.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be upset if someone didn't know mine because I don't remember anyone.
No, but it's like a lot of people do. And it's like, dude, like, you shouldn't get offended because we come in contact with people every day. And if you're not dealing with somebody on a day-to-day basis, then it's kind of hard to remember somebody's name.
Yeah, I still felt like a fool. 215-592-9494. That is how you hotboard. Hugh, when did you feel like a fool? You got a moment?
I've had a few of those moments. I mean, but the irony is, Kyle, those don't bother me. Those to me are funny.
Eric B. Minimi, it be.
That, those do
two
not
and
bother
top
me.
Of the low, top of the low, you know.
I would say when, this is going to sound bad.
God.
Like, say if, for as a guy, when you dated somebody that and you don't remember dating them,
like flat out don't remember or vaguely don't remember.
I'm talking around this
okay,
a little bit. You
right.
Gotta follow me.
All right, I'll go ahead.
Okay,
I'm gonna let you cook on this one.
You know how like when like somebody remembers a moment
and you don't.
Don't remember the moment, and they remember it vividly, and you don't, and they're asking you, well, like, hey, you don't remember me, and you'd be like,
oh no,
yeah, but then when they realize that you don't remember them, yeah, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, that makes me Tim.
That's not saying that I've been fast and been running around the city.
That's
all
what
willy-nilly.
It sounds like.
It's not. I know it sounds bad, but you asked me, and we. We are in the circle of trust right now.
We're oversharing. All right. Hugh doesn't remember. You know, somebody dated. All right. There it is. Kyle, when did you feel like a fool?
Well, it's not very often. I rarely do foolish things.
The audience would disagree.
I'd turn that back on the audience. So the one time was right out in the open. Everybody heard it. We did. It was a little earlier on in our show's conception. We were doing Hugh's Clues, and I basically just gave away the answer without even realizing in mid-conversation.
You just said it.
Yeah,
the answer.
I just said it, and I didn't realize until you guys pointed it out either. So.
Yeah, we looked straight up at you, and you didn't know what was going on. All right, that's a good one. 215-592-9494.
I think that's just par for the course, though, when it comes to this show.
Yeah,
like, doing foolishness.
I would say most people think anytime the microphone is on, I'm making a fool of myself. So, but when did you make a fool of yourself? Best answer we get today wins a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League. And are we too hard on Topper? I believe we are. Our first caller today obviously disagreed. I mean, just ripping Topper.
He ripping Canadians. It was just
it's unbelievable. Again, the team is 7 games up on the Atlanta Braves in first place. Second best record in the major leagues. And anytime we talk about the manager, we talk about him like he's a dummy. James is up in Southwest Philly. What's up, James?
Hey, Joe. How you doing? Joe and you.
Hey, James.
We are hard on Chopper. The reason why I say that is because, like people say, when he's winning, he don't get none of the credit. But when things go wrong, he gets the blame. That's why I say we should let the fans and the media be coaching GM. So if something go wrong, they can't blame nobody.
James, maybe you could be the manager one day. Hugh could be the manager the next day.
Yeah, it's not
we'll
that
turns.
Easy.
Hey, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I got a fun fact for you.
Okay.
And I tried to get into a couple days ago to tell y'all why I don't like Dallas, if you don't mind me letting you know that real fast.
I always want to know why you hate the Cowboys, but what's the fun fact?
My fun fact is, did you know that every team, the NFC East is the only team in the NFL, the only division in the NFL where every team has at least one Super Bowl?
I did know that. I hadn't thought about it in a while, but yeah. I mean, a lot of that is because they've all been around for so long.
Yeah, and like the Blue Bloods.
Yeah,
of the
right.
NFL.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, like, you know, compared to like the South with the Jaguars and the Texans and those teams. But it's a good fact. All right, James, you could tell us why you hate the Cowboys while you're here. I can't say
I
no
hate
to you.
The Cowboys won because they lie, because they call themselves the Dallas Cowboys, but they play in Arlington, Texas.
Mm.
They don't play in the city that they represent. And two, people say Dallas is America's team, but Philadelphia is America's team, and I can prove it, because Philadelphia is the First Nation's capital, and the Eagle is the only bird they ever put on money, and it's extinct.
These are facts, Hugh. I mean, he's dropping facts on us. All right, James, give us a moment. You made a fool out of yourself. What'd you do?
I was eating chips or something, I guess, one day, and talking to a female, and didn't chew it all the way, and something came out of my mouth and went onto her shirt.
Oh, no. Oh, that's a rough one.
That's not embarrassing.
That's not embarrassing.
That, That is embarrassing.
No,
why
hey, listen, James, I done had a whole tooth fly out of my mouth and hit somebody. That's embarrassing. One of these veneers popped off and I was talking to somebody, and that sucker flew straight across the room.
Hugh, when you try to get your Mac on.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's what I'm talking about.
But,
yeah.
Were you in a similar situation as James? Or was
I was talking, and it came loose.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, it's one thing if you're talking to me and a veneer pops out versus you're talking to a woman you just met.
Yeah, it was a woman I just met. And just
oh, no.
And she was like, that's okay. That's happened to me before. And I was like,
oh, they have something in common. James, good phone call.
That happened to me.
All right, so we got James here who had a chip fly out of his mouth onto a woman's shirt.
When you've embarrassed yourself as much as I have, there ain't too many embarrassing moments that you can really think of because they kind of just accumulate.
Well, the story you told is that's a pretty good one. You didn't remember something you probably should have.
No, and I was like, and I'm thinking, like, did we?
Did you say that?
No, I was thinking it,
okay,
though.
Okay, yeah.
And she said, well, you don't remember, huh? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, no.
That yeah, where your voice drifts? Like, yeah,
when
sure.
you get that high octave, yeah, I remember. But, yeah, did not remember.
215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, man. How are we doing today?
Hey, pretty good.
We're good. Just defending Topper against, you know, anti-Canadian manager people out here.
Dude, that guy came in hot and crazed, and man, but I give you guys credit. You turned that moment into some amazing radio. That was actually very entertaining. So credit to you guys for doing your job extremely well and taking a lunatic and making it interesting and funny.
Well, some people say that you guys take two lunatics and make it funny every day with us. So, yeah. So you guys do it every
y'all,
day.
Y'all, you people?
Yeah, you people and everybody. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Hugh, I thought you were going to say when you farted on air is when you're...
I did not fart.
Well, when you lied about farting on air.
I did not fart.
And then you even ducked the polygraph.
I know.
I didn't duck the polygraph.
That was a real character. We saw who really was there.
I did not duck it.
Because he couldn't lie on the polygraph. He told the truth perfectly, except he ducked out of the question.
Absolutely. And, Hugh, here's something that's disgusting, too. When you were talking about the coffee, that's by far disgusting. But you know what also is disgusting? And maybe you guys could do this for a try-day Friday. Like, hey, what's a disgusting food? I know you've done it in the past, but tripe. Tripe is disgusting. I don't know
tripe.
How people could eat that stuff. Yeah, look it up if you don't know what
it is.
That's
a fish, right? That's a fish.
No.
It's not a fish?
No. It has to do with a certain part of the body that creates what you were talking coffee. Look.
Oh, you're talking about like chitlins.
Oh, yeah, I think he like chitlins. This is gross.
We don't do chitlins.
Guys, let's move on to our Phils and Topper here. So, Arcia, I got a quick message for him. Brother, the sequel is never as good as the original. So, like, very weak, and you suck. And I love the fact that Bryce Harper is living in that man's mind
rent-free.
And that's awesome. The Topper thing... This is the thing that frustrates me with the Topper calls and the anti-Topper calls. Whenever he makes a bad move and loses a game, they're all over the airwaves. But when he does something like last night, single-handedly manages the team to win, which happens more times than not, nobody says a word. They're all quiet and they're crickets and they forget about it. Here's something else, though, that I think is real important, and I wanted to bring to you guys' attention. Watch what's going on with the Braves. And that is a manager decision. They played all of their starters last year, and Snicker does this. He plays them almost every single game. And what happened? They got tired, and they collapsed in the postseason last year. And what do you have going on this year? Every single of those stars is going down with injuries. So I like to say, hey, you know, we're with Fixer thing, because we're managing them and their health. But there is science to this, guys. And for some reason, Topper's tending to pull the strings, and that's why we're coming down the stretch. We're going to get everybody's healthy. We got – why am I drawing a blank on the pitcher? Left-handed pitcher to come back.
Oh, Ranger on Saturday.
Rangers get ready to come back. So, like, there's something to be said for that. Now, that doesn't mean that, hey, Wright has some tired arms and some things going on, but that's the contrast of the difference. It's his managerial style.
Yeah, no, Chris, I think there's something to it. Now, look, there are moments it's frustrating, and Chris, we appreciate the call, and there are moments it feels like maybe there's a line and he could kind of bend the line a little bit, and he doesn't, like Sunday when he didn't pinch hit Harper or Real Muto, and I wanted him to. But there is something, and Hugh, you were on this the other day, that there's a steadiness to Rob Thompson that he's not going to break from that. And the players obviously appreciate it. What Chris said there is true. When it's a bad day, Sunday against the Nationals, they lose the finale. They could have swept the series. He didn't use Harper. He didn't use Real Muto. He's the village idiot. Last night, when he affected the game in a real way. I mean, he sent two pinch hitters up. They helped the team score. He left Weston Wilson in. He had a big double. He pushed all the right bullpen buttons. It is different. It's like we're very easy to jump on when he makes a mistake, but when he does a good night, it's like, he's supposed to win.
I mean, because that's the easy thing to do. And that's one of those things where, you know, we've had so much bad baseball that's what people tend to gravitate towards when the decisions aren't being made that we feel are the right ones are being made. It surprised me the other night, just listening after the broadcast, when you talk about that last game against the Nationals, how many ex-baseball players were against the moves that he made. And the first thing that I thought about, like, again, they've forgotten more baseball than I know. But at the same time, it surprised me that they forgot what it was like to be in the locker room and know how important it is to have your finger on the pulse. Now, you can question all day long the decision-making, but I just thought it was kind of ironic how upset they were because they did not understand potentially why he did what he did.
Well, everyone was. I mean, it was open season on top. I feel like it happens between 3 and 5 times a season where the whole conversation in the city is the manager's kind of a dummy. And that continues. And again, I'm not trying to tell you this is as good as Bruce Bochy or, you know, this is an all-time great manager. I just think he's good. And I think for the most part, we're too hard on the bad days and we kind of ignore the good days, like yesterday with Rob Thompson against the Atlanta Braves. And big picture. I mean, sometimes you got to zoom out to the big picture. They're 7 games up. They are in great position
to win the
division and have themselves prepared the last week of the season however they want to do it, right? They could play their guys. They keep themselves in a rhythm. Hugh, they're probably going to be able to rest guys if they want that final week. They can handle it however they want. Some teams are going to have to fight just to get in that last week. They're in a very good spot as we enter the late portion of August here. 215-592-9494. Your chance to react here on Topper. Are we too hard on him with the Phillies and the way these seasons go up and down? I just think for the most part, he's been really good since he got here. I think we're too hard on Topper. Plus, we come back. Eagles players spoke on the final day of camp, and all signs seem to be pointing to a big bounce back for one player in particular. We'll get to that next. Your phone calls. And tell us when you made a fool of yourself, how you did it. Biggest fool today wins a spot in the midday show Fantasy League with a bunch of fools.
Seems harsh.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what we're looking for. I mean, I'm a fool. Hugh's a fool. You're a fool. We're all fools. 215-592-9494.
You gotta own it.
I'm clipping you saying I'm a fool, by the way.
I know. People believe it anyway. All right, 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Everyone knows with Kyle Goes Yard, beers are on Kyle the next day. Yes, at bars all over the Philly area. Get a free Philly standard, the tailgate beer from Yards Brewing Company. Go to yardsbrewing.com to find participating bars, including For Pete's Sake on Front Street with $5 Philly standard cans and $5 happy hour snacks, or South Bowl in South Philly, also with $5 Philly standard cans. An outdoor yard with batting cages, shuffleboard, and more. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years, made by Philly. Drink.
And a pitch. Swung on and hit high and deep to left field. Wilson is back at the track, at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He rounds first, waits for the ball to go over the wall, then clearly looks back at Harper, who's in on the infield grass. Looks at him again after passing second base. Looks at him again after crossing home plate.
Bryce Harper versus Orlando Arcia continues last night. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We'll tell you how we're giving away a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League coming up in a few minutes. We got a big Phillies win last night, 3-2. Got a little dicey late. Estevez is going to give me a heart attack come October. That guy is a roller coaster. But Topper pushed all the right buttons last night from the Marsh and stop pinch hit appearances, letting Weston Wilson hit in the eighth. The bullpen guys, including going to Kirkering for a second straight day. But Hugh, we had some drama there in the mid-innings when Arcia took Nola deep, and then he's rounding first base, and he stares down Bryce Harper. This guy is something else. I mean, remember, he's the attaboy Harper guy from last year. He started it all. I mean, is there a less self-aware major league player than Orlando Arcia? He's just a guy.
Yeah, he don't like Bryce. And I don't think Bryce likes him.
No, but you know what? Like, if he was on Bryce's level or close to it, I could almost get like a little bit of back and forth. He's just a guy.
Maybe he feels like he's on Bryce's level.
Well, my eyes tell me he's not for 8 years.
There's that.
Yeah.
But still, you have to like his bravado in the way that he did it. No. And the fact that.
Loser energy.
Wait, can I finish?
Go ahead.
This is pro-brave propaganda.
All right, let him finish. Then we'll yell at him.
Nobody's safe around these parts. But no, what I'm saying is this. Because it added to the drama of the game. Because before that happened, it wasn't looking great for us. Let's be honest.
That's
true. It was not a whole lot going on. And we started trending to the side of, here we go again. They're not going to win this game. And then we started thinking about some of the stuff that we were going to talk about for the show this morning. Like in a negative way. Mm. So I think that kind of got the party started. It would have been nicer if it would have been Bryce that had actually got the party started, but that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I get it. And no, look, it did add to the drama of the game. It made it more interesting, and it's the back and forth and the two guys from last year. That's fine. It's just, like, if Austin Riley wants, and I know he's hurt right now, but if he wants to stare down Harper or
call, that's something different.
Yeah, Matt Olson, obviously Acuna, like, they're good players. Orlando Arcia has been in the big leagues for 9 years. He's a 240-something hitter with, like, 80 career home runs. I mean, there's 100 Orlando Arcias running around Major League Baseball. Like, shut up,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, but it just adds to the drama of these two teams, man. And that's what I got from it, though, Joe. It's like, even though he is, no doubt, a lesser player than Bryce Harper. The fact that he did it added to the drama of that game last
night. Yeah, he's not quite a nobody as a player, but he's just one notch above a nobody. I mean, he's not a very good player. It's always funny to me when these kind of players like try to take on stars. Like, you stink, man. You're Orlando Arcia. Let's hear Topper after the game last night on the stare down between Arcia and Harper.
Looked like Arcia had stared at Bryce after he hit that home run running first.
I heard about that. Yeah, that's gamesmanship. We won.
Yeah.
Top of a little zinger there. We won.
Yeah, but you know, now you got tonight. And then not even that. Look at, like, what was it, Ramon Laureano the other night when he had those great catches in the outfield?
Yep.
Like, dude, that's what this is about. A team, especially when you look at where the Braves are, they've had a lot of injuries over the last couple of months. They've been decimated. And the way that they're fighting, they're trying to stay alive. And they had those moments. That felt like a playoff game last night.
It did. Well, especially late. And I mean, for the Phillies, winning games down there in Atlanta is always challenging. It was challenging when they weren't as good as the Braves. Now that they're better than the Braves, it's still challenging. Yeah, and I think it did add to the fun of the game last night and the intrigue, but again, it kind of reminded me of the NBA a few years ago. It was Dylan Brooks trying to take on LeBron James. This happens in the NBA a lot. Like, nobodies will try to take on stars. You kind of laugh it off.
Yeah, you're trying to build a name for yourself.
Yeah. But
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, he's still a nobody. All right, Harper after the game last night, reacting and being asked about Arcia staring him down.
You see him staring down?
Yeah, I couldn't cross.
Okay.
I already did it.
What's that?
I said I already did it.
I already did it. Yeah, the first one hits way more than the second one, especially in August, Kyle. Like, if it happened in a playoff game this year, okay, it's like, you know, you did it last year to us in the playoffs. I'm staring you back this time. It happened in an August game with the Braves down 6 in the division.
Yeah, like, we can just call it for what it is. Orlando Arcia is a loser. And, I mean, what was he thinking?
Loser.
What was he thinking doing that? Like, first of all, nobody should have any respect for Orlando Arcia, what he did. I think he's hitting like 220 this year. He's not even in the same stratosphere as Bryce Harper.
I think
Ruben
pointed out the fact that he wasn't greater than the broadcast.
He stinks. This guy waited almost a full calendar year to get his quote-unquote revenge on Bryce Harper in a game that, by the way, they lost. The division lead was going to be 6 if they won. Would have been 5.
Doesn't have the greatest timing.
Yeah, but now it's at 7. I mean, it was terrible timing. Like, he's an idiot for that. What was he thinking? And, like, I don't know if it motivated the team to go and win the game. Like, Bryce Harper didn't go off and have a great game after that. Mm. But, like, now it's just kind of a funny thing. Like, Orlando Arcia just comes off as a total idiot. Like, he embarrassed himself last night.
Well, you know what? He comes off as a fool. I mean, Orlando Arcia is a stone-cold fool. All right, it leads us to our midday show, Fantasy Football League. So here's how we're going to give away a spot today. Hugh, this should be fun. Every day we've done this, I'm really excited to hear what people say because they're always making us laugh with these answers or making us think. Hugh, today we're looking for when and how you made yourself look like a fool. All right? So you got to be open today. You got to be willing to share. the moment, or you know, how it happened in, at some point in life where you felt like a fool. You made a fool out of yourself. We're looking for the biggest fool out there. 215-592-9494. When you made yourself look like a fool for a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League. By the way, the draft, and we knew it was going to be next Wednesday. Now we have a lockdown time and place. Next Wednesday, 5 p.m., Chickies and Pete's in South Florida.
That's and we got our fantasy draft for the office, too.
We had our draft order this morning with the camera.
Yeah.
What pick do you guys have, you and Kyle?
Was it 9?
I think it's 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you were there.
Yeah, I forgot.
Okay.
You know what it was? Because it was you can't even call that serpentine. That was like random as hell.
I don't
love
that
9, pick
by
the out way. Of a hat. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like random as randomness.
Well, 9's not a good pick.
We picked out.
No, I said that when I
You did us dirty.
I didn't pick it. I didn't call the number. Somebody else called the number.
Well, Jody was picking out of a Tasty Cake donut bag.
Yeah, I didn't pick it. Because we didn't do it the way that normal people do it. We did it a different way.
I think it fits. I mean, I think it fits us. It fits the whole operation.
I blame you.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, you.
It's not being nice. That didn't fit us.
215-592-94.
It was bad.
94. That's how you hop in. All right, we got a spot in the Midday Show. And it's like, are we too hard on Topper and a time you made a fool out of yourself? All right, I'll break the ice here. You want to know when I made a fool of myself, Hugh?
What you do?
Well, I mean, I do it. I think most of our listeners would say every day when we turn the mics on. But here's one moment I really did. So, you know, I think I've told you this before. I'm really bad at remembering names. Like, I'm, you know, when they're not in front of me on the screen here, it's really easy. But when I meet someone new and they tell me their name, like 5 seconds later, it just goes in one ear, out the other. I have no idea. So I was out somewhere not that long ago, and I met up with someone that I knew, right? Like, they had told me their name. In fact, I think I had spent time with this person like more than a second. Like, I should know who this person is. And I knew their face. I knew them. Hugh, I had no idea their name. And a lot of times when I don't know your name, you know what I'll do?
Just wait till you say it.
Well, I'll say, hey, man. Hey, buddy. What's up, pal? Like, I'll work my way around it so they don't know I don't know their name. But we were at a brewery, right? So I was having some beer, right? So I kind of worked up the courage to Hugh where I convinced myself, I know their name. And I said it.
And it was wrong.
It was not their name.
I mean, but that's not bad, Joe, because I do that every day. Like, I meet people.
But I had hung out with them for hours, yeah, and then I called them the wrong name.
But see, I do that, and I'm going to say this right now, that I don't mean to do it on purpose. It's just that a lot of times, like yesterday, we were at the Eagles. Like, we were at training camp, and I saw a couple guys that I knew from down at – I did a couple autograph signings down at the shore. The guy's like, hey, Hugh, and I was like, oh, and I forgot his name. But, I mean, that's normal because I meet a lot of different people.
Right, but isn't it a little different? You admitted you forgot it or you knew. Then if you said, hey, Tim, and he's like, I'm Joe.
No, you were confident.
I was confident. I convinced myself I knew the name, and I was not even close.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty. But in your defense, you interact with a lot of people on a day-to-day basis. So I don't think anybody should hold that against you.
Yeah, I think he did. It was quite awkward.
His feelings were hurt?
I think so.
And
I felt like a fool.
Your feelings shouldn't be hurt. Because, like, even for me, I never assume that somebody knows who I am. I mean, because I think that's foolish. Because everybody doesn't watch football. Everybody doesn't know who I am. So when people say, oh, I forgot your name, and I tell them immediately, like, hey, that's fine. I'm not offended.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be upset if someone didn't know mine because I don't remember anyone.
No, but it's like a lot of people do. And it's like, dude, like, you shouldn't get offended because we come in contact with people every day. And if you're not dealing with somebody on a day-to-day basis, then it's kind of hard to remember somebody's name.
Yeah, I still felt like a fool. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Hugh, when did you feel like a fool? You got a moment?
I've had a few of those moments. I mean, but the irony is, Kyle, those don't bother me. Those to me are funny.
Eric B. Minim, it be.
That, those do not
bother me.
I would say when, this is going to sound bad.
Go ahead.
Like, say if, as a guy, when you dated somebody, that, and you don't remember dating them?
Like, flat out don't remember or vaguely don't remember?
I'm talking around this
okay,
a little bit.
All
you
right.
Got to follow me.
All right, I'll go ahead.
Okay.
I'm going to let you cook on this one.
You know how, like, when like somebody remembers a moment.
And you don't.
And you don't remember the moment. And they remember it vividly. And you don't. and they're asking you, well, hey, you don't remember me? And you'd be like,
oh, no.
Yeah. But then when they realize that you don't remember them, yeah, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, that makes me say, hey, Tim.
That's not saying that I've been fast and been running around the city.
That's
all
what it sounds like.
It's not. No, it sounds bad, but you asked me, and we are in the circle of trust right
now. Oversharing. All right, yeah, Hugh doesn't remember, you know, somebody dated. All right, there it is. Kyle, when did you feel like a fool?
Well, it's not very often. I rarely do foolish things.
The audience would disagree.
I'd turn that back on the audience. So the one time was right out in the open. Everybody heard it. We did, it was a little earlier on in our show's conception. We were doing Hugh's Clues, and I basically just gave away the answer without even realizing in mid-conversation.
You just said it. Yeah, you said the answer.
I just said it, and I didn't realize until you guys pointed it out either. So.
Yeah, we looked straight up at you, and you didn't know what was going on. All right, that's a good one. 215-592-9494.
I think that's just par for the course, though, when it comes to this show.
Right? Yeah,
doing foolishness.
I would say most people think anytime the microphone is on, I'm making a fool of myself. So, but when did you make a fool of yourself? Best answer we get today wins a spot in the Midday Show Fantasy League. And are we too hard on Topper? I believe we are. Our first caller today obviously disagreed. I mean, just ripping Topper.
He ripping Canadians. It was
it's
just
unbelievable.
All over the place.
Again, the team is 7 games up on the Atlanta Braves in first place. Second best record in the major leagues. And anytime we talk about the manager, we talk about him like he's a dummy. James is up in Southwest Philly. What's up, James?
Hey, Joe. How you doing? Joe and you.
Hey, James.
We are hard on Topper. The reason why I say that is because, like people say, when he's winning, he don't get none of the credit. But when things go wrong, he gets the blame. That's why I say we should let the fans and the media be coaching GM, so if something go wrong, they can't blame nobody.
I like that. James, maybe you could be the manager one day. Hugh could be the manager the next day.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
Hey, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I got a fun fact for you.
Okay.
And I tried to get into a couple days ago to tell y'all why I don't like Dallas, if you don't mind me letting you know that real fast.
I always want to know why you hate the Cowboys, but what's the fun fact?
My fun fact is, did you know that every team, the NFC East is the only team in the NFL, the only division in the NFL where every team has at least one Super Bowl?
I did know that. I hadn't thought about it in a while, but yeah. I mean, a lot of that is because they've all been around for so long.
Yeah, like the Blue Bloods.
Yeah,
the
right.
NFL.
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, like, you know, compared to like the South with the Jaguars and the Texans and those teams. But it's a good fact. All right, James, you could tell us why you hate the Cowboys while you're here. I can't say
I
no
hate
to you.
The Cowboys, one, because they lie, because they call themselves the Dallas Cowboys, but they play in Arlington, Texas.
Mm.
They don't play in the city that they represent. And two, people say Dallas is America's team, but Philadelphia is America's team, and I can prove it, because Philadelphia is the First Nation's capital, and the eagle is the only bird they ever put on money, and it's extinct.
These are facts, Hugh. I mean, he's dropping facts on us. All right, James, give us a moment. You made a fool out of yourself. What'd you do?
I was eating chips or something, I guess, one day, and talking to a female, and didn't chew it all the way, and something came out of my mouth and went onto her shirt.
Oh, no. Oh, that's a rough one.
Oh, that's not embarrassing.
That's not embarrassing.
That is embarrassing.
No,
James,
I done had a whole tooth fly out of my mouth and hit somebody. That's embarrassing. One of these veneers popped off, and I was talking to somebody, and that sucker flew straight across the room.
Hugh, when you try to get your Mac on...
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, and that's what I'm talking about,
Were you in a similar situation as James? Or was
I was talking, and it came loose.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, it's one thing if you're talking to me and a veneer pops out versus you're talking to a woman you just met.
Yeah, it was a woman I just met. And just
oh, no.
And she was like, that's okay, that's happened to me before. And I was like...
Oh, they have something in common. James, good phone call.
That happened to me.
All right, so we got James here who had a chip fly out of his mouth onto a woman's shirt.
When you've embarrassed yourself as much as I have, there ain't too many embarrassing moments that you can really think of because they kind of just accumulate.
Well, the story you told is that's a pretty good one. You didn't remember something you probably should have.
No, and I was like, and I'm thinking, like, did we?
Did you say that?
No, I was thinking it,
okay,
though.
Okay, yeah.
And she said, well, you don't remember, huh? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, in my mind, I was like, no.
That yeah where your voice drifts? Like, yeah,
when
sure.
you get that high octave, yeah, I remember. Yeah, did not remember.
215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, man. How are we doing today?
Hey, pretty good.
We're good. Just defending Topper against, you know, anti-Canadian manager people out here.
Dude, that guy came in hot and crazed and, man. But I give you guys credit. you turn that moment into some amazing radio. That was actually very entertaining. So credit to you guys for doing your job extremely well and taking a lunatic and making it interesting and funny.
Well, some people say that you guys take two lunatics and make it funny every day with us. So, yes. Yeah. So you guys do it every
day. Y'all, you people?
Yeah, you people and everybody. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Hugh, I thought you were going to say when you farted on air is when you're...
I did not fart.
Well, when you lied about farting
on
air.
I did not fart.
And then you even ducked the polygraph.
I know.
I didn't duck the polygraph.
That was a real character. We saw who really was there.
I did not duck it.
Because he couldn't lie on the polygraph. He told the truth perfectly, except he ducked out of the question.
Absolutely. And, Hugh, here's something that's disgusting, too. When you were talking about the coffee, that's by far disgusting. But you know what also is disgusting? And maybe you guys could do this for a Tri-Day Friday. Like, hey, what's a disgusting food? I know you've done it in the past, but tripe. Tripe is disgusting. I don't know
tripe.
How people could eat that stuff. Yeah, look it up if you don't know what it
that's
is.
That's a fish, right? That's a fish.
No.
It's not a fish?
No. It has to do with a certain part of the body that creates what you were talking coffee. Look.
Oh, you're talking about like chitlins.
Oh, yeah, I think I like chitlins. This is gross.
We don't do chitlins.
Guys, let's move on to our Phils and Topper here. So, Arcia, I got a quick message for him. Brother, the sequel is never as good as the original. So, like, very weak, and you suck. And I love the fact that Bryce Harper is living in that man's mind rent-free. And that's awesome. The Topper thing... This is the thing that frustrates me with the Topper calls and the anti-Topper calls. Whenever he makes a bad move and loses a game, they're all over the airwaves. But when he does something like last night, single-handedly manages the team to win, which happens more times than not, nobody says a word. They're all quiet and they're crickets and they forget about it. Here's something else, though, that I think is real important, and I wanted to bring to you guys' attention. Watch what's going on with the Braves. And that is a manager decision. They played all of their starters last year, and Snicker does this. He plays them almost every single game. And what happened? They got tired, and they collapsed in the postseason last year. And what do you have going on this year? Every single of those stars is going down with injuries. So I like to say, hey, you know, we're with Fixer thing, because we're managing them and their health. But there is science to this, guys, and for some reason, Topper's tending to pull the strings, and that's why we're coming down the stretch. We're going to get everybody's healthy. We got – why am I drawing a blank on the pitcher? Left-handed pitcher to come back.
Oh, Ranger on Saturday.
Rangers get ready to come back. So, like, there's something to be said for that. Now, that doesn't mean that, hey, Wright has some tired arms and some things going on, but that's the contrast of the difference. It's his managerial style.
Yeah, no, Chris, I think there's something to it. Now, look, there are moments it's frustrating, and Chris, we appreciate the call, and there are moments it feels like maybe there's a line and he could kind of bend the line a little bit, and he doesn't, like Sunday when he didn't pinch hit Harper or Real Muto, and I wanted him to. But there is something, and Hugh, you were on this the other day, that there's a steadiness to Rob Thompson that he's not going to break from that, and the players obviously appreciate it. What Chris said there is true. When it's a bad day, Sunday against the Nationals, they lose the finale. They could have swept the series. He didn't use Harper. He didn't use Real Muto. He's the village idiot. Last night, when he affected the game in a real way. I mean, he sent two pinch hitters up. They helped the team score. He left Weston Wilson in. He had a big double. He pushed all the right bullpen buttons. It is different. It's like we're very easy to jump on when he makes a mistake, but when he does a good night, it's like, he's supposed to win.
I mean, because that's the easy thing to do. And that's one of those things where, you know, we've had so much bad baseball that's what people tend to gravitate towards when the decisions aren't being made that we feel are the right ones are being made. It surprised me the other night just listening after the broadcast when you talk about that last game against the Nationals, how many ex-baseball players were against the moves that he made. And the first thing that I thought about, like, again, they've forgotten more baseball than I know. But at the same time, It surprised me that they forgot what it was like to be in the locker room and know how important it is to have your finger on the pulse. Now, you can question all day long the decision-making, but I just thought it was kind of ironic how upset they were because they did not understand potentially why he did what he did.
Well, everyone was. I mean, it was open season on top. I feel like it happens I'll say between 3 and 5 times a season, where the whole conversation in the city is the manager's kind of a dummy, and that continues. And again, I'm not trying to tell you this is as good as Bruce Bochy, or you know, this is an all time great manager. I just think he's good. And I think for the most part, we're too hard on the bad days and we kind of ignore the good days, like yesterday with Rob Thompson against the Atlanta Braves. And big picture. I mean, sometimes you got to zoom out to the big picture. They're 7 games up. They are in great position
to win
the division and have themselves prepared the last week of the season however they want to do it, right? They could play their guys. They keep themselves in a rhythm. Hugh, they're probably going to be able to rest guys if they want that final week. They can handle it however they want. Some teams are going to have to fight just to get in that last week. They're in a very good spot as we enter the late portion of August here. 215-592-9494. Your chance to react here on Topper. Are we too hard on him with the Phillies and the way these seasons go up and down? I just think for the most part, he's been really good since he got here. I think we're too hard on Topper. Plus, we come back. Eagles players spoke on the final day of camp, and all signs seem to be pointing to a big bounce back for one player in particular. We'll get to that next. Your phone calls. And tell us when you made a fool of yourself, how you did it. Biggest fool today wins a spot in the midday show Fantasy League with a bunch of fools.
Seems harsh.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what we're looking for. I mean, I'm a fool. Hugh's a fool. You're a fool. We're all fools. 215-592-9494.
You gotta own it.
I'm clipping you saying I'm a fool, by the way.
I know. But people believe it anyway. All right, 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Everyone knows with Kyle Gojard, beers are on Kyle the next day. Yes, at bars all over the Philly area. Get a free Philly standard, the tailgate beer from Yards Brewing Company. Go to yardsbrewing.com to find participating bars, including For Pete's Sake on Front Street with $5 Philly standard cans and $5 happy hour snacks, or South Bowl in South Philly, also with $5 Philly standard cans. An outdoor yard with batting cages, shuffleboard, and more. Yards Brewing Company, celebrating 30 years, made by Philly. Drink.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.